Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And a very big welcome to you this morning for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Here in the upstate of South Carolina, already warm. Some places have a little bit of fog, but it's 70 degrees here at 7:30 in the morning on June the 6th, 2005. Going to get up to 85 degrees, it says today. You can interpret that to mean 95 to 100 if the last few days have been anything like current days, and if the weather forecast has been as wrong in other days as it is today, probably is today. It's going to be a warm one. Look out for some humidity, too, on the horizon. So going to be glad to be inside your air-conditioned cubicles today. As you make your way out to work, you can not have to worry about the weather outside as long as the electricity bill is working. There's a chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Precipitation could be as much as 40% of the area. So be prepared for that as you make your way out as well on this glorious day, 6th day of June 2005. What's going on today? Well, it seems to me that there's a lot that's going on today. I thought I'd brush through a few quick news stories for you who didn't happen to catch it this morning on the news. Switzerland voters have approved a referendum. A narrow majority of Swiss voters approved joining the European Union passport-free zone, abolishing checks on the country's border by 2007, according to final results from a two-issue national referendum Sunday. So if you haven't been to Western Europe, you're not quite clear on what this means. But essentially, you can go across any border in Europe. Once you get into Western Europe, whether it's Germany or England or France, Italy, Greece, you can go across any other border just like you were driving between a different state here in the United States. Switzerland was one of the holdouts. You couldn't do it there. But now they're voting that you would be able to. They've also said 58% of voters favored increasing rights for same-sex couples, meaning that registered same-sex couples are treated the same as married couples for tax and pension purposes. Well, isn't that just nice? That Switzerland is just so far ahead of the curve on being politically correct and so forth. Sad. Had anybody thought about Switzerland being a free country and all that sort of thing? Well, you might have some reason to doubt that Switzerland's a free country just because, not because they don't have some good rules in terms of regulations and taxes relative to the U.S., which that may well be true, but just like New Zealand, when you consider the social structure of things, there leaves a lot to be desired in places like Switzerland. Very wealthy country. It's the only country I've been to that I could say is overwhelmingly, clearly, more wealthy than America. It's got a lot of wealth there, and it's very beautiful. It also has a lot of other things which are not so desirable. Amnesty chief reports that Gulag was not the best analogy. Washington, Fox News reports, the American head of Amnesty International admits his group did not pick the best analogy when it compared detainee conditions at Guantanamo Bay to the Soviet-era Gulag forced labor system. There are only about 70,000 in U.S. detention facilities, and to the best of our knowledge, they are not in forced labor. They are not being denied food. There are some analogies between the gulags and our detention facilities, William Schultz, executive director of Amnesty International USA, said in an interview with Fox News. The U.S. is running an archipelago of detention facilities, many of them secret facilities around the world, and people who are being dispersed, who are being disappeared into them, they are being held incommunicado. So here we have Amnesty International upset with the United States' treatment of prisoners, and that's into a secret system of prisons. California governor is criticized for eco-friendly goals. Governor Republican Arnold Schwarzenegger is warning that global warming is a threat to the world's future. And at a recent conference on the environment, he laid out his plan for curbing it. I say the debate is over. We know the science. We see the threat. We know the time for action is now, Schwarzenegger told an audience last week attending the World Environment conference in San Francisco, and the first time the United Nations has held the event in the United States. Calling global warming an imminent threat, Schwarzenegger did not specify how he would meet the goal of reducing emissions in 2010 to less than those produced in 2000 through the voluntary program which Schwarzenegger planned to introduce through executive order. That makes sense. Greenhouse gases, carbon dioxide, methane, and nitrous oxide would also hit 1990 levels by 2020 and 80% below 1990 levels and by 2050. Representing the world's seventh largest economy and one-eighth of the nation's population, the governor's message had a broad pledge, but not everyone believes that he will fulfill. It looks a little like they're taking advantage of an opportunity and going to a friendly audience and telling them what they want to hear about doing anything to make people mad. So it's like having your cake and eating it too, says Mary Nichols, a board member of the California League of Conservation Voters. It is political, and the first question ought to be if he means to put his policies where his mouth is, said Chris Horner, a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Schwarzenegger isn't a stranger to environmental issues. Last September, his state became the first to adopt regulations to curb greenhouse gas emissions from automobiles. Schwarzenegger has also introduced a hydrogen highways program to install hydrogen fueling stations along the state and a million solar roofs program to subsidize the installation of solar power equipment in homes. The government is sincere in its desires to do good by the environment. We've seen him make good appointments, said Nichols. The problem is we have the initiative, and it looks a little too slick. Critics of the governor charge that the reduction in carbon emissions would cost California consumers and businesses billions in taxes and fees to fund investment for clean energy, something a pro-business Republican might be reluctant to do. If he means this and believes what he says, which I doubt, but if he moves from cheap virtues into energy rationing, which is what's required with what you're talking about, he's not going to be elected to anything, Horner said. Schwarzenegger's executive order leads us up to various state agencies to hammer out the details of his plan, but in time-honored gubernatorial tradition, while the governor may take credit for setting noble goals, the challenge of reaching them will be left to future generations. Well, this is an interesting story. I read the whole thing because it is a wacky story that shows the true colors of Governor Schwarzenegger. The guy does not know, first of all, anything about science, and second of all, I'm not sure if he won't get reelected. I mean, any place he could get elected, if there is a place that he could get reelected, it would be California, given that so many environmental nuts are out there as well. But listen, the world does not have a problem with the greenhouse gas emissions and all this stuff that are causing global warming and things like that. This is a false science. This is not something we need to be concerned about. And the idea of using alternate energy is even more preposterous. You know, they have wind farms in California, too, that spin these windmills around in Palm Springs and out in the desert areas. And supposedly, these are safe, clean ways to produce energies. Well, you know what? If you took all the thousands and thousands of acres of wind farm that we have, they do not even come close to a single turbine plant's generation of electricity. And those things are becoming so dilapidated because the only reason people threw them up there was for a tax credit, to do something with some desert land to get some benefit from it. And when they break down, they're not being repaired because they're not very profitable to run. Same thing will be true with solar panels, but the governor there plans to tax people and use tax dollars to force them to behave differently. This is always a bad idea. Any kind of big brother behavior business is a bad idea in economics and in public policy. It's a proactive policy. It's a liberal idea. It's a foolish idea. And that's what Schwarzenegger is up to. So, spurious in terms of the science, just read Julian Simon, just read Ronald Bailey, just for two starters on why all this stuff is nonsense about global warming and greenhouse gases, why it's a ruse, why it's trying to lead us off the path of the truth, and you'll see that Governor Schwarzenegger is part of the problem by far and not part of the solution. And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
I'm going to try to remember to give you after every break today. Our phone numbers are still upgrading our phone systems here, and it's going to take a little bit of little while to get it all done with our volunteer staff. As great as the volunteer staff is, by the way, I use two numbers you can reach us at this morning. One is 864-849-0277. That's 864-849-0277. And the other, our backup line, 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Be sure to give a call and discuss these great topics of the day. Look forward to hearing from you here on Christian Worldview. Well, I got an email from Brad the other day, and I thought this was a good little poem or little story that he brought up, and it leads into something else that's even more, that is also very important as well, that's going on in the upstate here. So I'll go ahead and read this. It's called Butt Prints in the Sand. "One night I had a wondrous dream. One set of footprints there was seen, the footprints of my precious Lord. But mine were not along the shore. That then some stranger's prints appeared, and I asked the Lord, 'What have we here?' 'Those prints are large and round and neat, but Lord, they're way too big for feet.' 'My child,' he said in somber tones, 'for miles I carried you alone. I challenged you to walk in faith, but you refused and made me wait. You disobeyed, you would not grow. The walk of faith you would not know. So I got tired, I got fed up, and there I dropped you on your butt. Because in life there comes a time when one must fight and one must climb, when one must rise and take a stand, or leave their butt prints in the sand." And I thought that was fairly cute and apropos. It's time for Christians to stand up and be counted, to take action for and to know something about the Christian worldview and the implications of their own faith. That's what Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben is all about. And in order to facilitate that, there are great events going on in the upstate right now. For instance, you have this evening the Institute on the Constitution, and you are cordially invited to join friends and neighbors for a wonderful opportunity to learn about American history, the underlying biblical principles on which our government is based, and the history of the drafting and ratification of the Constitution of the United States. The classes begin tonight at 6:30 p.m. They'll go until 8 o'clock, or actually 8:30. You'll find there that they have a 30-minute informative video and then a great discussion about some of the key issues of the day to help Christians become informed about their country, about public policy, about the Christian perspective. on public policy. It's located at South Point Baptist Church, 203 Ina Marie Lane in Pelzer. Hope you can be there. And if you're a little bit late just because you can't get out of supper time and all that stuff quick enough from Greenville to get over to Pelzer, they won't be too disappointed. They'll be glad to have you there. Try to get there at 6:30 if you can. But if for some reason you have to be late, don't worry. You'll still be able to enjoy the vast majority of the program, and they're not going to be offended if you come in the door a few minutes late. You can call Pastor Tony Romo if you want more information or to register, 864-269-1443. That's 864-269-1443. And I'll try to be there tonight myself. Look forward to meeting you there tonight at the Institute on the Constitution in Pelzer. If you have any thought about, well, I can't write down that stuff, Dr. Coben, I'm driving in the car this morning. Listen, all you need to remember is tyrannyresponse.net or tyrannyresponse.com, either one. And you will be able to go to the website, and under the events tab has listed all the information I've just said on the air here, the directions, the phone numbers, or the addresses, things like that that you'll need to get to the event that we've talked about on the page here, or on the show here, excuse me. So by all means, try to make it to the Institute on the Constitution. But I wanted to talk about a little bit about economics. This is as good a time as any to do so. This came out this morning this past Wednesday in the Times Examiner, and it's a column by Walter E. Williams, one of my favorites, of course my mentor at George Mason University, on our trade deficit. Now, the trade deficit is a mythical problem, just like the greenhouse gases, I think, are a mythical problem. And I think Walter hits it right on the head here, economically speaking. You hear so many people talking about the trade deficit. Even libertarians and conservatives are concerned about this thing, and I think it's wrong-headed for them to be so concerned about it. And I think Walter points this out pretty clearly, why they do need not be that concerned about the trade deficit. He says as follows: I buy more from my grocer than he buys from me. I bet it's the same with you and your grocer. That means we have a trade deficit with our grocers. Does our perpetual grocer make a trade deficit portend doom? If we heeded some pundits and politicians who are talking about our national trade deficit, we might think so. But do we have a trade deficit in the first place? Let's look at it. Insofar as the grocer example, there are two accounts that I hold. One is my goods account, which consists of groceries. The other is my capital account, which consists of money. Let's look at what happens when I purchase groceries. Say I purchase $100 worth of groceries. The value of my goods account rises by $100. That rise is matched by an equal $100 decline in my capital account. Adding a plus 100 to a minus 100 yields a perfect trade balance. That transaction, from my grocer's point of view, results in his goods account falling by $100, but when he accepts my cash, his capital account rises by $100, again, a trade balance. The principle here differs not one iota if my grocer was located in another country as opposed to down the street. There'd still be a trade balance when both the goods account and the capital account are considered. Imbalances in goods accounts are all over the place. For example, my grocer buys more from his wholesaler than his wholesaler buys from him. The wholesaler buys more from the manufacturer than the manufacturer buys from him. But when we put the capital accounts into the mix, in each case, the trade is balanced. International trade operates under the identical principle. When we as consumers purchase goods from China, and the Chinese don't purchase a like amount of goods from us, it is said that there's a trade deficit. But instead of purchasing goods, the Chinese might purchase corporate stocks, bonds, or U.S. Treasury debt instruments. Just as my grocer example, there is a balance of trade. The deficit in our nation's goods and services account, sometimes called a current account, is matched by a surplus of equal magnitude in our capital account. A large portion of surpluses in our capital account consists of U.S. Treasury debt instruments held by foreigners. As of June 2004, China held nearly $200 billion, Japan over $1 trillion, and Europe combined held over $2 trillion. Some politicians gripe about all the U.S. debt held by foreigners. Only a politician can have that kind of audacity. Guess who's creating the debt instruments that foreigners hold? If you said it's our profligate Congress, go to the head of the class. If foreigners didn't purchase so much of our debt, we'd be worse off in terms of higher inflation and interest rates. What about the possibility of foreigners dumping our debt? Foreigners aren't stupid. Dumping large amount of treasury bonds would drive down their value. Foreigners as well as we would take a hit. The fact that foreigners are willing to exchange massive amounts of goods in exchanges for slips of paper in the forms of currency, stocks, and bonds should be a source of pride. It means America, with its wealth, Wealth, true rule of law, and the sanctity of contracts inspires foreigners to hold large amounts of their wealth in U.S. obligations. Their willingness to do so means something else. Trade increases competition. Ultimately, it's competition, many producers competing for his dollar, that truly protects his consumer. What protects producers at the expense of consumers are restrictions on competition. The quest to restrict competition is what lies at the heart of the trade deficit demagoguery. When's the last time you heard a consumer complaining about his buying more from a Chinese or Japanese producer than that producer buys from him? Yes, indeed, it does not make any sense. The whole trade deficit thing is a farce, folks. Don't get all worried about this thing. We have always a balance of trade between individuals, and that's all that counts. Not national trade, what the nation trades in the whole is irrelevant to begin with. But even when we look at those numbers, we have to understand that there is a balance somewhere. Just because they're not buying as much from us as we buy from them is really an unimportant, irrelevant fact, no different than the fact that you buy more from your grocer than he buys from you. So, Walter, I applaud you this morning. You did a great job, and we appreciate the economic insight. And we've come up against a break here at Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to TRN.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
If you have a question and comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955 or 864-244-849-0277. That's 864-201-6955 or 864-849-0277. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net.
And we welcome you back here to Christian Worldview. Appreciate the production staff giving out the new phone numbers. We'd love to hear from you this morning on Christian Worldview. Hope you have an opportunity to call in and discuss some of these important issues which we brought up, these news headlines, or discuss this, the trade deficit, if you can, with us this morning. Happy to hear from you, as always, on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Well, here, beard ban is back as a safety concern. Beard ban is back. The Washington Times is promoting this. The D.C. Fire and EMS Department is making another attempt to enforce grooming policy of facial hair at that a federal judge in 2001 ruled was a violation of firefighters' First Amendment rights. The enforcement will begin with a test scheduled tomorrow, during which fire officials will test firefighters to make sure their face masks on their breathing gear have a proper fit. This has very little to do with grooming and much more to do with safety, said Alan Ether. It's always about safety. Have you ever noticed whenever you see a public interest or a public policy come down, they don't come right out and say, you know, we want to go out and pass this rule to slam this group or to, you know, take away the profits of this business or to rape this guy's integrity. We're not trying to destroy competition here. What they'll always say is, well, this helps improve the quality of life for everybody. It's like the Vision 2025 farce here in Greenville. Or we want to improve safety. We want to make the place safer and the world safer, or the city safer. It's always under the guise of some improvement to quality or the quality of life, or an improvement to safety. Don't believe it, folks. They're always going to tell you that. And they're not going to walk up there and say, you know, we were proposing a public policy today because we really think that the Rockefeller family doesn't have enough money, and this other guy over here is a nuisance and causing all sorts of grief to his regime, or to his profitability, the Rockefeller's profitability. Therefore, we're going to pass this regulation that's going to directly slam this guy, probably put him out of business so it can benefit our friends. You're just not going to see a public policy say that, even that, if that's the true intention of it. So bear that in mind anytime you see something about safety. At any rate, continuing on in this article, in all that time, there's not been a single injury or accident that resulted from firefighters having facial hair, he said. I would be aware of it, and if there had been one. Four of the men were Muslims, one was a Rastafarian, another was a Nazirite that had the infraction of the beard. Fire officials said that when testing begins tomorrow, the department will not provide exemptions for religious reasons. If firefighters do not want to shave their beards for such reasons, they must report to fire officials their religion and the specific beliefs or teaching the practice would violate. Unlike 4 years ago when firefighters who violated the policy were suspended, men who will not shave for religious reasons will be reassigned to administrative duties until the legal questions are settled. Lieutenant Sneed said the grooming policy is not a safety issue because the masks are pressurized, so facial hair will not interfere with the seal. If they can prove that it's really about safety, then they will win, he said, but they have to prove it, Mr. Spitzer said. Mr. Spitzer said the department's position in the case would have a disparate impact on black firefighters that could lead to legal challenge based on racial discrimination. Whatever. I mean, you know, this is just another example of Big Brother trying to overstep his bounds and tell people how to behave. It's a sad case that this sort of thing happens, but it goes on in America all the time. We are not surprised by this anymore. You know, I've mentioned several times the Times Examiner to you, and I wanted to get a couple of publications in here before we go to the top of the hour. The Times Examiner is one of the most important media available in the upstate. If you don't subscribe, you should. $25 a year in-state, $27 a year out-of-state. Call 864-268-0576 to subscribe, 864-268-0576. And are you tired of reading liberal columnists? The Times Examiner features outstanding conservative and libertarian columnists, including Dr. Coben, Dr. Walter Williams, Thomas Sowell, Marvin Olasky, Ben Graydon, Joe Sobin, Phyllis Schlafly, Charlie Reese, and others who make contributions from on homeschooling, like the Sheen family does. The Times Examiner needs your support right now. If you've got a business and can run a small ad, it would be greatly appreciated. We do not want this paper to go under, as it's our only voice in the upstate. So by all means, give them a call, 864-268-0576. Once again, if you've missed any ad or some of the details as you're driving along, remember you can always go to tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net, and you can find out the information that's been mentioned on the air. Also want to give a plug for the Nationalist Times. The Nationalist Times is a politically incorrect monthly newspaper that's reported on the progress of the Christian Worldview program since it began. The TRN listeners can obtain a free postpaid sample copy by calling Nelson at 864-642-4315. Visit the Times website, nu.org. That's worth doing. Mention this ad for a big discount on your subscription. The Nationalist Times picks up where the liberal media leave off and salutes Dr. Coben's pioneering broadcast work. Now, again, if you say, Dr. Coben, you know, I got the Nationalist Times or I got the Times Examiner, and there's some things in there I don't agree with. Well, so what, folks? Yeah, you're going to find some things you don't like. You're going to find some language you don't like. I don't like it either, necessarily. I mean, I don't like picking up the Times Examiner and reading some of the neocons or some of the what I consider more silly columns in the Times Examiner. But, you know, that's only a small portion of what's available there to you. Skip those ones if they really offend you. And if you've got an open mind, read what they have to say. It's not going to hurt you. The same thing is true with the Nationalist Times. Well, there might be a racist in there. Well, yeah, there might be. There might be somebody you disagree with here and there. I'm certainly not a racist, and I don't agree with everything I read in there. But nevertheless, there's a lot of good stuff in there as well. So don't be detracted from reading something because there might be something offensive inside there. We don't want to be ignorant or the foolish, like the foolish out there who know nothing about about the truth of things that go on because we refuse to read alternative news sources and separate the precious from the vile. Remember, that's what God told Jeremiah. If you separate the precious from the vile, you shall be as my mouth. Your job as a Christian, as a thinking Christian, is to be able to separate the precious from the vile in these publications or in any publication for that matter, and I hope you have an opportunity to do so. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Come up to time for a break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis. Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview this bright and hot day, 6th day of June 2005. Currently 71 degrees at 8 o'clock in the morning here in Greenville, or in the upstate, give or take a couple degrees depending on where you might be. 85 will be the high with thunderstorm activity predicted in the afternoon, a 40% chance that your area would be affected by a thunderstorm in the afternoon. Don't believe the 85 degrees, though, folks. They predicted it would be in the 80s yesterday, and it was 100. So the weather service will probably be off again, but it's going to be a hot, muggy one. So stay in your cubicles as long as possible. You'll be happier there than having to go out and try to get your car cooled off as we make on make your way back from work today. It should be a real warm one. Also, might want to think about bringing a sack lunch in so you don't have to go through the hot weather. Now, see, some people like the hot weather here. You know, I'm from the West and the South, the true South, as we know, Southern California, and we, it's tough when you come from a climate like that to live out in the where it's humid and so forth. And of course, it's not nearly as bad here as other places in the South. Really, being close to the mountains, it's rather mild here. But some folks out in this way, I found, actually like the warm weather. They like it to be really, really hot like this, and they'd rather relish it and enjoy it. Well, it's all yours. Have at it. but don't blame me for not sharing the euphoria over that that wretched heat. It's just really tough on those of us who are weak, who have been out in more pleasant climates rather during our lives. Anyway, enough of that for now. Here's a few more of these dumb comments about homeschooling sent to us by Michael Ferris, and sent to the net, and we just picked them up there. From Tracy Pina, an acquaintance said, "Every kid has to get beat up a few times in public school, or they won't be able to cope in the real world." Mike Ferris responds, "Sticks and stones will break my bones, or else I won't be well-rounded." Clarence and Barbara Hawkins wrote in, these are true stories, by the way. If you didn't catch the show yesterday, remember that we were writing in some true stories of people, two experiences people had with the non-homeschoolers out there. Clarence and Barbara Hawkins said, "A homeschool family in our town took their school days off in the middle of the week to match their father's job schedule. Some nosy neighbors had the family investigated for homeschooling on Saturday." Mike reminds us that the social services case I had in Alabama, where a mother was hotlined for allowing her children to read books in the back of the van while she drove around town. Nutty. From MDT, a friend said, "My child is being taught a light in a dark place, but I guess some children are not able to do that." Mike, with that much condescension, that lady probably fogs up her own glasses, he says. From Michael Nichols, a woman asked a homeschool friend of mine, "If you don't send your children to school, who's going to teach them morals?" Mike Ferris says, "Yeah, I like the moral necessity of beating up other kids in the playground, if we believe another comment we read." From Barb Palmer, our girls' friends from the neighborhood asked, "If you're homeschooled, who teaches you?" Ignorance out there. From the Austin family, a friend said, "Won't your children miss the experience of the goods and bads of dating people from other cultural and religious backgrounds?" Oh, yes, what a shame. From Char Brady, a mother from my daughter's former public school class said, "If you were more involved in your child's education, then you wouldn't have to homeschool." Oh. From MDT, an acquaintance asked, "How can you possibly give them enough one-on-one time?" Mike's, stolen from MDT, says, "I guess the kids would get more one-on-one time in a classroom of 30. From Ozchick, whatever that is, someone's pseudonym. A friend asked me if what we were going to do during a public school snow day. I replied we were going to go ahead with school. The friend replied, "That's silly. Why make your kids work so no one will be around to grade their papers?" Not to be outdone, that same friend heard me describe how I was teaching my children baking from the colonial period. A recent project was making a cake from scratch. She replied, "Where can I buy a box of scratch?" I've never heard of it. Oh, my. Very funny. From Nancy Persaud, from a fifth grade geography textbook, "Maps are smaller than the areas they represent." Ooh, is that right? From Dana Estes, a friend said, "I could never homeschool my children. I can't imagine spending that much time with them." She's a public school teacher. And this week's winner, he says, from Charlie or Cherry Oliver, my daughter was born 3 months early and had severe brain damage. We were told to put her in a home and forget about her. At the age of 3, the state said that special children need to be sent to the public school system so that they can get the classes they needed. When I told them I was going to homeschool my daughter, the school worker came unglued. She said, "But the state can make her into a better, more dependent entity." Huh. My daughter is now a first grader who reads, writes, and does all the other things first graders do. She's the most independent six-year-old I know. Mike, that's truly incredible, truly incredible. Yes, it is. And we applaud you for taking that dedication to homeschooler. We like to applaud from time to time the well-deserving group of women, especially, and then some men, who homeschool their kids. It's a big commitment for you to do so. I mean, it would be so much easier to go along with the Joneses, get a second income, get more free time for yourself, especially the mothers during the day when the fathers go off to work. The mothers, if they're not working, can go play tennis or shop or do other things like that. They give up a lot to be homeschooled parents. But you know, as well as I do, the great blessing it is to be a homeschooled mom. Not only are you closer with your own kids, but you have the great feeling of fulfillment for doing the right thing with them and helping them achieve their goals and watching them learn and knowing that they're not being indoctrinated with nonsense. That you're in control, as the parent should be, and helping them learn right things and valuable things to make them better off in terms of their Christian worldview, in terms of their whole lifestyle. So we applaud you today, homeschooled mothers, for your dedication, commitment. Liberty owes you, we owe you a great debt of gratitude for your work in advancing liberty and the principles of the founders and the principles of biblical truth, for that matter, by your efforts at home. It's a great, great task. I respect a mother more for being a homeschool mother than just about anything else she could do. Maybe anything else she can do, period. Wonderful thing. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955 or 864-849-0277. That's 864-201-6955 or 849-0277. You may also send your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find they are regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic, and are willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at Prime Sirloin on Woodruff Road across from Greenville Mall. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the meetup at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street in downtown Greenville. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. And interesting that they just Lee, who is the chairman of the Upstate Libertarian Party, had just sent me an email advising me on his approval of Governor Sanford. Now, Governor Sanford is a mixed bag as far as I'm concerned. Philosophically, if you read some of his columns, he's just not there. He doesn't understand the principles of liberty, and he's in large measure a globalist. But he does get some things right, and one of them is this. Lee says the following. I was recently informed of and read an article on GreenvilleOnline.com where Senator Vern Smith, representative from Greenville County, accused Governor Mark Sanford of having a libertarian mindset because he had issued 163 vetoes totaling $95 million in cuts. The article can be found at the following link, and he gives the link. First, I would like to thank Governor Sanford for the vetoes, and yes, thankfully, he does have a libertarian mindset. We need more people like him in government. And I appreciate Lee's comments there, and thanks to the libertarians for pointing out these kinds of things to us and sending us the information that we can report it on Christian Worldview. As I said, I don't think he has really a true libertarian mindset, but as far as using the veto, he does a great job of holding back government spending. We do applaud him for that. Got to give credit where credit is due, and Governor Sanford deserves credit for vetoing so many bills. Well, what else have we got in the news? Well, we know we've been talking about the European Union's constitution, Switzerland, today approving same-sex union benefits as well as the ability to cross their border without a passport from Western Europe. Gary North also writes in and talks about the European Union's, or euthanasia, as he calls it. In the final days of May, the first day of June 2005, two remarkable events took place. One in France and the other in Holland. A large majority of voters voted against the 332-page Constitution of the European Union. To get the Constitution ratified, there had to be 100% acceptance by member nations. Of course, they didn't do it for the right motives, Gary, as you probably know as well. A lot of them just thought they wouldn't get as much welfare under the new Constitution as before. At any rate, I thought I might read a little further into the article here. He says, concerning a man named Raymond Fosdick, He was a minor city official in New York City when he was hired by John D. Rockefeller to act on Rockefeller's behalf. That was in 1913. In 1919, Fosdick, his name, F-O-S-D-I-C-K, sent a letter to his wife. He told her that he and Monnet were working daily at the foundations of the framework of international government. That was letters to the League of Nations. His brother Harry Emerson Fosdick became Rockefeller's pastor in 1925, for whom Rockefeller built the Riverside Church. So this has been going on for some time. You can see this planning, this globalist planning, ever since Rockefeller was the original Rockefeller was alive and doing his work. He persuaded Western European governments to enter into a free trade organization. And this first major step was taken in 1951 by the Treaty of Paris. And so this stuff's been going on for some time. The acronym NAFTA also comes to mind when we think about what's going on in these free trade zones in Europe. Then you had John Dulles writing in the 1930s about creating an international free zone in which the corporations chartered by the League of Nations would enjoy the advantage of tariffs set at zero. Well, that's fine, but they're also going to bring along all sorts of other stuff. Like regulation, globalism, and so forth. So Gary North says he has a question of legitimacy about all of this. The defeat of the proposed Constitution calls into question that most precious of political resources, legitimacy. From now on, every attempt by bureaucrats to centralize administrative power will be met with organized resistance. And, of course, this is a laudable thing, Gary's saying, and I agree with him. Those opposing the bureaucracy will have this on their side. The people have spoken. They have said no to the final conclave of secular cardinals. They have sent the bureaucrats a message. Enough. The bureaucrats since 1951 have dressed themselves in the wardrobe of political legitimacy by dipping into the economic cornucopia provided by increased trade. They have wrapped themselves in the cloak of economic prosperity that has been produced by an increasingly free market and have said, the reason we have prosperity is because we have a regulated market, administrative trade, and rule of law. The bureaucrats sold the idea of political union by heralding the benefits of free trade. They need legitimacy, for legitimacy is what every ruler needs if he is to gain widespread voluntary compliance to his edicts. In conclusion, this turn of events may not turn out to be as important as August 20th, 1991, when the communist attempted coup against Yeltsin went belly up. The question is, who will inherit the benefits here, the spiritual heirs of Adam Smith or the spiritual heirs of Muhammad? Long term, I'm betting on Adam Smith heirs, but probably with Chinese accents. I call it you, then Asia. In other words, EU, then Asia. Price competition works cultural wonders. So do container ships. So Gary North is looking for more benefits going through Asia in the future rather than Europe, he may well be right, because the European mindset is so twisted. But I think he's right along to that Adam Smith's generation will, or Adam Smith's heirs and those who advocate Adam Smith's principles will win out in the end over these socialists. Appreciate Gary Norris' comments. Hope you do as well. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955 or 864-849-0277. That's 864-201-6955 or 864-849-0277. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Do you long for a return to the constitution of limited government originally given us by our founding fathers, but feel powerless to make it happen? Do you wish there were more people who felt the way you do? Well, ChristianExodus.org is coming to your aid. Our members are the Christian constitutionalists just like you, and we're moving to South Carolina to help you elect godly men who refuse to obey illegal federal court rulings, just as Judge Roy Moore did in Alabama. Please join with us and help move more Christian constitutionalists to South Carolina. Our website address is www.christianexodus.org, and we appreciate Christian Exodus as support of the Tyranny Response Network and of the Christian Worldview Show in particular. There have been Corey Burnell and the folks behind Christian Exodus are doing an outstanding job, and we're very glad to have them on board and coming here to help, and we hope that we can mutually have a mutual relationship where we can help them out as well. ChristianExodus.org. Now, the Christian Exodus link is on the website, tyrannyresponse.com. Anything you hear mentioned is either on tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net. In fact, they both go to the same place. Check it out if you miss any of the announcements given today. Also want to let you know that the Institute on the Constitution is going on tonight, and at 203 Ina Marie Lane in Pelzer. It starts at 6:30. You can be a little bit late if you have to be. Don't worry about that, but it goes to 8:30. It's a great time to discuss the American Constitution. It's been going on for a number of weeks, and tonight is week 8. Don't be afraid to jump in the middle. It's worth going to the meeting, seeing the video, and then having the great discussion with the 40 or 50 or 60 other folks who have been attending. Hope you can make it out tonight. That's for the Institute on the Constitution. If you need the details, go to tyrannyresponse.net and find out more about it. Also, remember, we're running a special program, a promotion during the month of June. We're trying to raise some money for some transmission equipment, and we need your help. Anyone who's donating $25 or more will receive a free signed copy of my book, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. And if you're donating $100 or more, you'll also receive the Warriors of Honor video, which we advertise here on the Tyranny Response Network. Please go to the website policyofliberty.net, scroll down, and use the PayPal key in order to contribute online through your PayPal account or Visa or MasterCard. And if you can, or if you prefer to do something by way of the snail mail method, you can simply go to the tyrannyresponse.net website, scroll down to the bottom, and find our address there, which is P.O. Box 151 in Pelzer, South Carolina, and send off a check. Make sure you include your name and address so we'll know where to send the books and or videos to. And appreciate your support for the Tyranny Response Network. Again, we're trying to make a big push in the upstate of South Carolina especially, and perhaps even into the Dorchester County near Charleston area, to get more signal, more transmission capability so more people can hear this great show. If you want to do something for liberty, support us now at the Tyranny Response Network. We could really use it. All right, well, we talked a little bit about FDR last Monday. Remember, just a week ago, we had the Memorial of Villainy. That is now archived and available online. If you happen to miss it, talking about the eight great presidents and politicians, and great in terms of their amount of evil that they did, the nefarious ones like Franklin Roosevelt and Abraham Lincoln, Woodrow Wilson, Lyndon Baines Johnson, Ulysses S. Grant, Edwin Stanton, Nelson Aldrich. These men, or Henry Clay, I can't forget him, mentioned him recently with Tom DiLorenzo's article, I think it was yesterday or Friday's show. You can find out more about these villains of American history just by clicking on that link. Go to tyrannyresponse.com or .net, and then go to the section about archived or audio, and you'll find those special events, recordings there. You'll be able to play them on at your leisure on your own computer at home. Remember, FDR was quite a scoundrel, and every day I try to pick up a book and just remind myself about some of these horrible people in American history. I've got a personally signed copy of Jim Powell's book, FDR's Folly, is what it's called, How Roosevelt and His New Deal Prolonged the Great Depression. Some of the chapters that go on in this book include, Why Did FDR Seize Everybody's Gold? Why Did FDR Triple Taxes During the Great Depression? Why did the New Dealers, like FDR, make everything cost more in the Depression? Why did the New Dealers destroy all that food when people were hungry? And how did the Tennessee Valley Authority depress the Tennessee economy? I can't forget this one. How did Social Security contribute to higher unemployment? All of these chapters and much more are in the FDR's Folly book, and we discussed a number of them on that Monday show. It's important for us to recognize who our enemies are and not believe the myths that come up from the revisionists about these people. These people are these presidents and other leaders have been evil men in this country that have done more to harm liberty by far than they've done to promote it. In fact, we can't even say that they promoted liberty at all on net or in the balance. Sad, but this is the way America's gone, and it's been a terrible tragedy in American history to see this kind of stuff happen. In fact, there's an article by David Allen Black, I'll just mention quickly before we go to a break, that there's concern about FDRing of the church itself. He says, Americans have always been a hard-working, resilient people. That is until FDR. Today, as a result of government social programs, we have come to depend more and more on the federal government to take care of us. Government redistribution of wealth is now accepted as normal. Does anyone really question legitimacy of welfare and Social Security anymore? We do. Right here, Christian Worldview, Tyranny Response. Yes, we do. We question legitimacy. We even say it's evil. And it's wrong. And it's sin to accept welfare, whether it's Social Security or otherwise. Even though it's completely unconstitutional, he says, yes, it is completely unconstitutional, and we agree. And the church has been FDRized. And that's sad. You need to know about this scoundrel, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. You need not to follow him or his 501c3 type arrangements or his welfare programs or stop giving the responsibility the church has to care for the poor and the orphans and widows and give it to the government. We need to stand up and be counted as Christians. That's part of being in tune with the Christian worldview, and we're trying to promote that here on the Tyranny Response Network. You are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you did. Hope to hear from you soon. We'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955 or 864-849-0277. That's 864-201-6955 or 864-849-0277. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis. Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Let me welcome you back to Christian Worldview. Currently sunny and 74 degrees in the upstate of South Carolina, 8:30 on this the 6th day of June 2005. Going to get up to 85 degrees today, says the Weather Service, with a 40% chance of afternoon thunderstorms. Be prepared for that. Don't believe them. It's going to be warmer than that. It's always warmer than what they say. Yesterday they said it was going to be in the high 80s and it was 100. So be prepared for a hot day here in the upstate of South Carolina. Well, we have here a story which always, these things sort of intrigue me because I know nothing about, virtually nothing about nutrition, except that Americans and me in particular have been under-nutritioned all their lives because the foods we eat are just probably not as good for us as they should be, that especially processed stuff we buy in the stores so commonly today. Well, here's some article that came in, and I was hoping some listener could comment on this because I just don't know a whole lot about it. It's entitled MSG, The Hidden Poison by Dr. David and Serene Denton. We have uncovered, they say, what may be one of the most important discoveries in our research and possibly one of the most insidious conspiracies fostered against the American public without their knowledge or permission. Your health is at serious risk. The secret culprit is monosodium glutamate, MSG, hidden in most of the prepared foods consumed by people in this country. We are horrified at what we have found out about the pervasiveness of MSG hidden under other names and aliases so as to go undetected. We thought we had been avoiding it for years, but didn't know that it was being concealed in almost all of our food. In our clinical research, we have developed new techniques to determine levels of toxicity and have found MSG to be far more toxic than all other toxins, poisons, and allergens that we have that we find in our testing of sick patients. There is even a stronger reaction to MSG than arsenic or mercury. Wow. Well, reaction to mercury is death, isn't it? And arsenic could be in pretty high doses, so that's pretty big claim. Now, okay, I'm not going to read any more of this article. It's a long article where he tries to prove that MSG is this dangerous thing that's a preservative and so forth. If you want to talk about that pro or con, by all means, give us a call, 201-6955 or 849-0277 in the 864 area code. Like to hear from you about the whole subject of MSG, interesting as it may be. Also want to shift gears a little bit while we're waiting for people who might be interested in talking about that. Maybe none of our listeners this morning know about this either, and that's fine. If no one can call in and tell us about it, we accept that fact. But if you do, we would like to talk about it. We had an article come in from one of our research staff sent this up to me from an old Joe Sobrand column. Well, it wasn't that long ago, I guess. Actually, just at the beginning of May, on the federal monopoly. And I thought this was worth doing. Actually, here it is, April 21st, 2005, Joe Sobrin. He says this, in most teaching about the American Civil War, that's the War of Yankee Aggression or the War of Southern Independence, by the way, that's what they call it up north, and I don't know why Joe Sobrin does, except for maybe it's more widely understood up there. The pupil learns that there was a necessary association between slavery and secession. The war ended happily, he is told, because slavery was destroyed and the Union was saved. But there is no inevitable connection between slavery and secession. In fact, the first secessionists were Northern abolitionists who wanted to be no part of the Union that tolerated slavery. They just didn't acquire enough influence to persuade their fellow Northerners to declare their independence. Suppose they had. Suppose New England had pulled out of the Union in indignation over slavery. Suppose the remaining states had declared war in order to save the Union, and after a bitter five-year struggle costing nearly a million lives, New England had been conquered. Then what? History might record the victorious Union took a fierce revenge by occupying, looting, and setting up puppet governments in New England for several years. Furthermore, it has also amended the Constitution not only to protect slavery in the South, but to extend the right to own slaves in every state in all U.S. territories. In that case, saving the Union might not seem such a wonderful thing. It would have come at a price of saving slavery. The causes of Union and slavery would have been synonymous for later generations. A more chilling thought is that the Union victory over New England might not only have saved slavery, but have conferred more legitimacy on it. Abolitionism might be associated with those nasty rebels who tried to destroy the Union, and slavery with the cause of patriotism. To the victor belong the spoils, including, to a great extent, the moral sense of the population. Both sides in the actual Civil War were engaged in subjugation. The South was protecting chattel slavery, and the North was denying the right of secession on which this country was founded. Joe, you missed the point here. Also, there were five Northern states that were slave states that fought against the South. Of course, there was some question about that, especially Maryland and Missouri, which tried to secede and weren't allowed to. But this he's gone a little bit too far on that point. But I'll continue on. At the time the Constitution was adopted, several states, including Virginia and New York, ratified it on the express condition they might withdraw from the Union any time they deemed in their interest to do so. This was in keeping with the Declaration of Independence, which says that the people have the right and the duty to alter or abolish a government destructive of their rights. No one at the time challenged these states' claims to a right of secession. Not only did the Declaration support them as a particular matter, practical matter, nothing could stop them. The federal government was too weak. Of course, that is not the case after Lincoln got through with making a huge centralized government that will never, and Stanton, Edwin Stanton, that we've never been able to shake off since then. At any rate, Joe Sobrand has it right in the sense that public school kids are wrongly taught that there's this great link between secessionists and slavery, as if one is as evil as the other. It's simply not the case. Not the case at all. Secession is something that's guaranteed as part of our very founding documents in the Declaration of Independence. And we sure hope here at Christian Worldview, if it could ever happen, that sometime in our lifetime, South Carolina would secede from the Union. And if North Carolina and Tennessee and Georgia want to come along too, that'd be wonderful. Or if anybody else, for that matter, in the Western states, and let the Northeast corner of the population go ahead and live on their merry way. And if they want to take California, they can go ahead and have it too. I hate to say that, but at least to give them some booty to run away with, so they can go and live their own lives. I really can't say that about Californians. There's too many good people in California. They can't stand what's going on either. Just happened to be that the majority of people in the population centers in San Francisco and Los Angeles like the leftist stuff. Well, maybe we could just carve them off and ship them off to Greenland along with Massachusetts and be done with them. They might like to be done with us at any rate. So why in the world keep the union together when we have so many ideological and philosophical differences? Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Secession is an alternative that we should strongly consider. It is a way to go, I think. Well, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're come up against a break time again, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's nppros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.nppros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955 or 864-849-0277. That's 864-201-6955 or 864-849-0277. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net.
We welcome you back into the Christian Worldview Show. This week's events are all recorded for you at the homepage, or actually the events link on the page tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net, whichever you prefer. Both go to the same place. Remember, this evening's meeting is called the Institute on the Constitution in Pelzer, 203 Ina Marie Lane. Go to the website and find out more details about that. Hope you can attend. I hope to see you there this evening, and let us know that you came there because you heard it on Christian Worldview. And later on this week, the only other main event going on for the week is the Libertarian Party business meeting at the Prime Sirloin at 6:30 p.m. on Thursday evening, the 9th. At 10 o'clock, or on the 10 o'clock, at 1:30 in the afternoon, 1:40 in the afternoon at California Dreaming, we usually have an informal meeting to discuss public policy topics with me. You're welcome to come if you want to come and listen and become a little more educated on the Christian worldview. It's open to you if you want to show up there about 1:40 off of Pelham Road. That's this Friday, the 10th. So that's the week's events that I have listed. We've listed on the TyrannyResponse.com website on the calendar if you scroll down under the events tab. I hope you can participate in some of these things going on this week. Get involved as a Christian. Get informed. Get involved and do things to promote your faith and help your practice shine brightly in a very dark world, in a very dark time. Okay, let's go back to a couple other news stories while we're waiting for the phones to ring. We hope to hear from you this morning. Mondays are typically quiet days for us here at Christian Worldview. Most people, I think, sleep in a little later on Mondays, or they're so tired from their weekend they don't have much time to get on the phone and call the Christian Worldview show. That's fine, too. We understand that occurs in people's minds and activities in life. But if you do have an inkling to call and talk about MSG or any other things we've discussed in the Christian Worldview, we would be more than happy to hear from you this morning. Again, our phone number 864-201-6955 or 864-849-0277. Well, this week's Times Examiner is going to feature a very important article of mine, as the last four series of articles have all been fairly important, or very important from the Christian Worldview point of view. In our perspective in trying to develop a theology of public policy. And this article series is a two-part series. One will be out this in your hands this week on Wednesday, and the following one will be the following Wednesday. It's called Public Policy Theology in Historical Context. Now, let me remind you that all of my articles are online already posted, even this one, at the policyofliberty.net website. You simply go to the Articles tab, and you'll be able to read all of my articles that have been archived there, including these current ones on public policy theology in historical context. Now, this is an important piece because it deals with a difficult problem for us in the Scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 says, "Honor the king." Simply, honor the king. And that's Peter's terse apostolic admonition to first century Christians who were called pilgrims of the dispersion in 1 Peter 1:1, whom Nero had exiled to Asia Minor from Rome. The admonition includes specific objects and extent of their acquiescence. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man, to the king as supreme, or to governors. 1 Peter 2:13 and 14a. Of course, Paul said something similar without using the word king in his writings to Titus and to the Roman Christians, Titus 3:1 and Romans 13:1 through 3. So what does Paul have in mind? Or Peter for that matter. How do we honor the king when we have no king? Well, here's an important piece for the Christian worldview, and I think it's something we have to get a grasp on right away. There are times in which culture and technology alter our specific reaction and understanding of the Scriptures. They do not take away the principle, however, that is being taught. For instance, some people would abuse this and carry it so far as to say, well, you know, nowadays, the Bible said that women should be in subjection and in silence and should not teach in the church, and therefore, because that was only because of the culture they were living in. Nowadays, our culture has changed. Women are more educated, more apt or adept or whatever it might be to do things, and therefore, this part of God's Word no longer applies because of our cultural sophistication. This is a wrong way to interpret the Scriptures. This is not biblical, not godly, not something we should hold to as Christians, in my perspective. And now, of course, not being some sort of full-fledged theologian and having written on this topic before, but this is my understanding of proper theology. You may have a question about that. You're welcome to call in and so we can discuss it. However, there are certain aspects of things which do change over time. For instance, there are three places in the Scripture which we are told to submit to the government. There are four places which we are told in the New Testament that we are to greet each other with a holy kiss. This was commanded to the Roman Christians, to the Macedonian Christians, and the Achaean Christians, and Thessalonians, 1 Corinthians, and the book of Romans. So then, those are commands from the Lord. Well, do we actually go and kiss each other, especially men kissing each other? I don't think so. This is not something we do. Why not? Well, what's happened is the principle behind it has survived the cultural context. The principle is having an affectionate, warm greeting for one another, whether it's by a handshake or otherwise. This is what carries forward, and this is what goes across cultures. It's not the actual outward act of kissing that has to be done. The same thing's true when Jesus says to his disciples in Luke 22:36, tells them to go out and buy swords. Well, okay, the idea is then that Christians through all the ages, even though we can go out and buy a gun right now, are supposed to buy a sword for defensive purposes, self-defense and otherwise. No, I don't think so. Technology has changed so that Christians can avail themselves of other kinds of weapons. The principle still stands that we should go out and buy weapons. I think that certainly holds true. But the actual outworking of that has changed over time. Well, this article shows that these two things have changed, and therefore other things have changed as well in the Scripture. Those are maybe the holy kisses and the buying of swords, maybe the two more obvious ones, but I think it's also the same when it comes down to honoring the king. We have no king in America. George Bush isn't king. Congressmen aren't kings. The Supreme Court justices aren't kings. They may act like it or petty tyrants at times, but they're really not kings. And what we submit to is to our what our equivalent king is today, and that is the Constitution. Yes, the Constitution and the Declaration are the foundational documents for our government system. Those are the things we ultimately submit to, and if the political actors, including George Bush and the congressmen and so forth, no longer abide by the Constitution, then our submission to them can be curtailed, stopped, and avoided. We don't need to submit to those who are violating the Constitution. This is a unique feature of American civilization. Other countries can't claim that sort of allegiance, political allegiance to the Constitution rather than to the political actors, and they are maybe in completely different circumstances culturally and otherwise, and therefore their submission principles have to be different in other nations and at other times. But in America, where we live, our Constitution is a sovereign document. It is our sovereign, our monarch, so to speak, and that is what we owe our political allegiance to. When the government agents violate things, we can disobey them because of that principle. That's an important aspect of our society here. You may have some questions or comments about that. Hope to hear from you soon if you do. Right now, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Right now, we want to go and take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to TRN.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955 or 864-849-0277. That's 864-201-6955 or 864-849-0277. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to questions@policyofliberty.net.
And we welcome you back to the last segment of Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben this morning. I want to remind you all that this is a month, a special expansion month for the Tyranny Response Network. They've been waiting for equipment to arrive, and that's why the Greenville signal is still a little bit weak, and they've been promising for the last couple of weeks trying to get this equipment in that they'll be able to improve the signal, have not been able to get the equipment yet for whatever reason, some shipping problems, and hopefully by this following weekend again, the Greenville signal will be stronger. They're also looking to immediately acquire some other equipment to improve the signal in Anderson and then in Spartanburg. To do that, we need your support and donations, and offering a special during the month of June for anyone to who donates more than $25 or more. They will receive a free copy, signed copy of my book, my latest book, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. For those donating $100 or more, they'll also receive that book plus the Warriors of Honor video about Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson. Great video, great DVD to have in a DVD format, as I say. Hope you can go to the policyofliberty.net website, click on the tab for PayPal, and donate down below if you want to donate online through your PayPal service or through your credit card. Or if you want to just simply do the old-fashioned method and send us a check, go to the tyrannyresponse.com website and scroll down and find there our address for the address for the Tyranny Response Network. It's at P.O. Box 151 in Piedmont, South Carolina. And you can find the exact zip code and direction there at the tyrannyresponse.net homepage. Hope you can contribute and help out this great cause for the advancement of liberty. Well, we've been talking about the public policy, theology, and historical context article that's come out this week. And talking about this word, honoring the king, I want to continue on a little bit about that. We see that here in America we have an unusual situation because the only government we really have, ultimately, the only political allegiance we have as Christians, ultimately, is to the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. And therefore, we have different rights or different activities that might not be acceptable or permissible in other countries. And of course, God says, you know, if you're called a slave, don't worry about it. Remain a slave. But if you can be free, then do it. And he tells us to go ahead and occupy till he returns. And that's what we need to do, and that's what we need to adopt as a Christian worldview, that sort of activity. Well, there's scriptural evidence, too, to discuss what exactly it means to honor the king. Some people would mistakenly say that honoring the king is tantamount to those passages which tell children to honor their parents, as if we owe some special allegiance to any state ruler that might be up there. It's absolutely not the case. The Bible indicates when we talk about submission to rulers that it's a completely different kind of submission. It is indeed a doing or acquiescence of what they ask. That part is the same as it would be from children to parents. But it's not with the same motive. In my view, it's more out of expediency, even to the point of having insincere and superficial performances before rulers. And how do you get this, Dr. Coben? Well, simply look at Proverbs 23, 1 through 3, or Ecclesiastes 8, 2 through 5, or Matthew 17, 27. You'll find that we are told in the Scriptures, if you're sitting down before a ruler and you want to make sure you put on a good performance, put a knife to your throat if you're a man given to appetite. That's what it tells you to do. And Jesus says, look, the reason we're going to go ahead and pay this temple tax is we don't want to offend them. Lest we offend them, go down there and cast your hook in the sea and pull out the fish, and the first one that comes up, you're going to have a coin in his mouth, go pay it for you and for me. The whole purpose, the whole motive was to avoid offending them. It's a pragmatic, in a sense, or practical approach to not offending these rulers and therefore not bringing the wrath of the ruler down upon us. So the kind of performance mandated for Nero and his cronies in the first century is the same kind of performance as mandated for us as Christians today. We're not to get off track and look at the faulty divine right doctrine, what want to lead us to believe that what we need to do is bow down before the king as if he's the very oracles of God himself, speaking as God's vicar on the earth over some issues, and treat his laws as if they were God's law, no matter what his laws may be. This is a wrong thing. This is an incorrect Christian worldview. And hopefully in this article, when you get a chance to read it this week, you'll be able to think about these things more clearly and get a better grasp on exactly what it means to honor the king, to be in submission to government. Of course, I deal with this in my book, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. That is available on the website, tyrannyresponse.com, and as well as policyofliberty.net. Hope you go there and take part in becoming a more informed Christian And we'd like to thank you again for listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben today. It's been a great show. Glad you've been listening. Hope to see you again here at the same place, same time, tomorrow morning for another edition of Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Until then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.